Everybody thinks it's all about partnerships. You hear that over and over. But has it ever been researched? Carla Ruffold has done the research, and you'll be surprised by the answer. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. I always start these off with a simple premise setting. Tell me about your journey. How did you get here, like to this point? You know, what's the backstory that got to this position?
All right, quick summary. I started a recruitment business in the UK. We expanded to the US and I sold it to a bigger company. They kept me and then moved me out here 2 weeks before the pandemic started. So that was an interesting time to move countries and be in recruitment, not the best time to be at recruitment. So I ended up moving into Orpheus Cyber as their COO. The recruitment business was in cybersecurity. So I've been around the industry for, I don't know, 10, 12 years now. And that's how I got here.
Now, you did some really interesting research around the value of partnerships. And we're going to get to that in a minute because I want to talk about some of the results. But why did you want to even look at the value of partnerships?
So we are expanding Orpheus in the US right now. And there are two ways you can go about that. You can hire a direct sales team or you can try and pursue a partnership strategy. And the general feeling, the like anecdotal advice is, well, partnerships are better, right? You want to go through partnerships, you'll make more money. But no one talks about the fact that actually there's a lot of work in creating a partnership. You've got to get them, much like you do a sales prospect. And then you've got to make them work. And actually the time to do that might often be longer than the time it would take you to get a direct sales team. So we were thinking about this as a business problem, which is why when it came up as part of my MBA, I was kind of quite keen to go and research it a little bit more.
So tell me a little bit about that research process. Like, how did you dive in and figure this out, particularly for those that aren't familiar with research for an MBA?
Oh, well, I'm far too familiar with research processes after doing this. So what I did was I looked at the number of partnerships companies, cyber companies publicize. I looked at the number of people they say they have in their sales teams. I looked at their revenue and I looked at their valuations. And I looked at a couple of other things in amongst there, but they were the main things. One of the big limitations of this, before everyone kind of jumps on and criticizes, is it was secondary research. I wasn't allowed to go and talk to those companies directly. So there is the only sort of nuances I was able to get to the data came from financial statements or press releases. So all secondary data, and there are some inherent problems with that. But those problems applied across all the companies. And I looked at companies in the UK, the US, and Israel.
All right. So the big headline, what did you find?
Partnerships have no correlation to revenue. None. Like if anything, in the case of Israeli companies, the more partnerships actually had a negative correlation to revenue. But what they did have was a correlation to valuations, which I thought was really, really fascinating, because you would think that actually your revenue is tied to your valuations. They shouldn't be different. But I think what that shows, my assessment of that, is that the people investing, VCs and private equity companies, they care about partnerships. They see it as an effective go-to-market strategy, even though it doesn't work, which kind of comes back to that whole question. What is actually better? If you care about revenue, probably isn't partnerships, because sales staff, the bigger your sales team, the bigger your revenue.
Okay. Now, this is one where I want to dive in a little bit here. So if there's no data linkage between revenue and partnership, this literally means they aren't, the premise is they're not making more money because of those partnerships, like top line revenue isn't being driven. Is that the conclusion we should be taking from this?
The conclusion I've drawn from that data. Now, you know, I said secondary data, right? It could be that 10 of your 100 partnerships generate 90% of your revenue, whatever it is. You know, we're all familiar with those sort of things. And then it might be that you have those partnerships for strategic reasons. You want to stop your competitors getting them. But yeah, I think you need to think really carefully about your partnership strategy, because from the data I have, it's not driving revenue.
Okay. Now I want to double check, because I'm hearing the vast screams of channel executives around us right now saying it really does. It doesn't have a negative effect either, right? You're literally saying there's just no correlation between revenue and partnerships, correct? So it's not a negative thing either.
No, it's not a negative thing. But yeah, there's no correlation. So we can't say that the amount of partnerships you have and that going after more will give you more revenue.
Okay. But we also, to get to that valuation point, though, that when we're looking at actually how companies are valued, those investors are putting some level of premium on it. So if you're a leader of an organization and your goal is to get your valuation to a certain point, that's the other portion of this research we should be thinking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if your goal, and many companies in cybersecurity, that is the goal, right? Get the next round, get the exit. So yes. And I think that the premise behind that is if someone else can sell what you sell, then you have a product that's worth selling. It gets really interesting when you get into countries. So Israeli companies, which, you know, generally are pursuing an international expansion strategy, that correlation to valuation is much higher than for US companies. In the US, it doesn't make as much of a difference.
Interesting. Okay, so let's tie this back around, particularly on the other side. Now, your research was really focused on the vendors providing that, less than those consuming it, right? Have you spent any time thinking about the other side of the partnership as part of the research?
Yeah, I really have, because if I'm a vendor and the partnerships aren't correlating to revenue, am I giving them the best possible service? And am I putting enough into it to make them successful for both of us, right? Because this is very much a two-way thing. So if I'm an MSP and I'm thinking about who I'm partnering with, maybe I want to start thinking about, A, how do I make it successful for them and for me? But am I actually getting the level of service that I need to know that I can make this partnership successful?
Gotcha. Okay. So the interesting thing here is partnerships then more of a marketing and sales strategy more than a driver? Is it something that they say to position? Like, what's your take on the why then of this idea that it's so prevalent of partnerships is the better way to go?
So it's possible that there's something in the data that needs more work. It's possible that the companies I looked at are at a different point in their evolution. And if I go back and look at the same companies in a couple of years' time, that will have changed. But I think it's because we have this group think, right? Everybody I spoke to before doing this would have said, go for partnerships. Partnerships are the way to go. And how many people ever stop and think, I mean, as far as I'm aware, I'm the only one, because I had to do a very extensive search of what other research was out there. Stop and say, does this actually correlate to revenue? I'm not sure we've really stopped to ask that question. And one of the things that I would really have loved and wasn't able to with the data sources to dive into is, how long does it take for those partnerships to generate revenue? If we think that they do, and right now I don't, but if we think that they do, what's the time delay? And actually, is that time delay something that we're willing to accept? So for me, I think the answer to that question is groupthink.
Interesting. So now that you've broken free of this groupthink, how is this driving your thinking on the right balance? Because it feels like it's not necessarily one or the other. It's probably some hybrid. What's your thinking coming out of doing this research on the approach?
My thinking is very much around, how do I make a partnership successful? So not that we won't pursue them, but if I am pursuing them and if I do agree to one, how much do I need to put into this to make sure it's successful? Am I training people on my product? Am I making sure they have the marketing tools that they need? And am I really giving them the best of my attention? Because if I'm not, then what's the point? There are a lot of things that we would put down as partnerships, right? Free marketplaces and resellers and things like that, where you kind of say yes because it doesn't cost you anything. But if you're not investing in that, what is the point? You are literally just sticking your logo in places. And I don't know that that's the best use of our time as a business.
Okay. Now, marketers, I'm going to push back a little. Marketers would say, well, that's the value, right? Is I've got the exposure, brand exposure, it's larger reach. Like, you know, what's your take on the response of, well, this is a sales and marketing strategy, and it is one that amplifies that?
I think that's vanity metrics at its purest, right? You know, like, and I have quite extensive experience in marketing, and I've run marketing for Orpheus as well. So, like, I have that background. And actually, I don't really believe personally in the concept of brand awareness where we just put our logo everywhere so people see it. Obviously, that is part of a strategy and you do need people to know who you are. But actually, if the depth of those relationships is there and people, you know, that depth of delivery, that's important. And a metric that drives revenue is important. Doesn't matter how many followers on Twitter I have. It matters if they're talking to me and then ultimately buying from me. The same thing.
Gotcha. It's an interesting way of looking at it. Now, what about the reach? There's the other argument that I hear all the time here is that it's about enabling the reach, particularly as you think about the small end of the market, right? So getting to small companies is very difficult. You know, you're playing a very large volume game to do it. And thus the prevailing think has been, look, the reason you go through a channel to get to smaller companies is the amplification that as an individual provider can reach their, you know, 10 to 1,000 customers that you, the vendor, are going to struggle with. What's your, as you've been researching and thinking about that, is that part of the equation too or not? Or what are we missing there?
I think it could be. If that is one of your metrics for the growth of your company, market share, customer numbers, if you want to be testing your product, right? Like actually there is going to be some level of volume. So if I was thinking about this in, you know, how many MSPs take my product, right? I know that a lot of the market is smaller, and actually it might be that I only get 10 or 20 customers out of one relationship, which maybe doesn't really move the needle on my revenue, but it does in terms of market penetration. It does in terms of market share. So if that's one of my metrics, then that's okay. Like not every business, bizarrely, has revenue as their main metric. Sometimes it is valuation and things that increase it. Sometimes it's market share. Sometimes you're pursuing a strategy where you just want to stop your competitors getting any space whatsoever, right? Knowing that you're going to increase your prices in 2 years once they've been pushed out the market. So I think it depends on what strategy you're pursuing. But yeah, I think that is a possibility.
Okay. So do you think that this is also a difference of technology now versus technology, quote unquote, before? You know, for example, you know, again, the DeLorean, I go back 30 years, you know, when we didn't have the same communication tools, do you think that's a factor of this? Do you think time is some of the factor or the market or something along those lines?
100%. So the boring bit of the research is kind of the literature review, right? And, you know, I probably reviewed 80 different sources about partnership strategies and direct sales teams. And almost all of the research was done on manufacturing companies 30 to 50 years ago. There was a handful of things that had looked at technology in the way we would now think about it. So actually, one of the problems might be is that we're pursuing business strategies that are based on outdated industries or industries that don't necessarily translate to where we are. Because, you know, if I have a massive social media marketing campaign, maybe I can reach as many people as a reseller or a bar or whatever else. So yeah, I think that's a great point.
Okay. So then it's probably finding the right balance, right? That it's not that one or other is the better. It's just finding the right mix that works for you and your strategy. Is that what are you internalizing then as kind of the balance? You've talked a little bit about it, but what's your own internal thinking on the way the balance should be struck?
So I think that balance is really interesting. So I also looked into whether your staff numbers, and this was difficult, you know, I could only really use LinkedIn. LinkedIn isn't the best source of staff numbers. But actually, the number of sales staff you had overall had a very similar correlation to how many partnerships you had in comparison to the amount of channel staff that you had. So your sales team are probably inevitably going to pick up partnership agreements as they're going through the general sales process. And I think that maybe you can use them as a way of pursuing partnerships that hopefully drive revenue or drive your strategy. So I think that for me is kind of where that balance comes in. Because yeah, we don't have to go to extremes and it's not either or, but you know, it is finding the right balance.
Interesting. So is it organic? Is that sort of organic partnership acquisition versus kind of, you know, it happened accidentally versus the idea of it happening very deliberately? What was the indicators you were getting from that research?
So, yeah, I think that that is happening organically. I think if your sales team are out there doing what they're meant to be doing, they're probably going to have those conversations and build those relationships with people who are in the same sort of places. Now, the downside of that is, you know, are they, if you're not pursuing that deliberately, are you going to end up with the right partnerships that could be the ones that generate revenue? And if you haven't got the right people then to deliver on those partnerships, because it is a different delivery, then, you know, are you actually going to make them successful or not? But, you know, what we're choosing to do right now as we grow is make it part of the sales team's targets and plan to get partnerships rather than just focus on direct sales. And maybe as you get bigger, that changes.
Well, interesting. So what's next for you and Orpheus?
Well, most immediate will be IT Nation and Rider Boom in the next few months. So, I am very excited about working closer with some of the MSPs and MSSPs that we've been talking to over the last few months. So a few other things, but that's what I'm focused on right now.
So if people are interested in learning more, what's a great way to get in touch?
So the best way to get to me is LinkedIn. I'm pretty sure there's only one of me with my name spelled this way, so you should be quite easy to find. And then if you want to go and read the research and critique it, I've put a shortened version on my website. So just carlareffold.com and you should be able to find it on there.
Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.